Welcome to the Left of Lansing podcast with your host, Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. A, dare we say, entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how we can best make Michigan's political machine work for the people. And now, live from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's Pat Johnston.
Welcome to another edition of the Left of Lansing podcast. I'm Pat Johnston. Still waiting for the right wing to explain that if people are just simply going to get guns illegally, despite the passage of any new gun reform law, then why have any laws whatsoever? And I'm still waiting to hear from Michigan Republicans as to why passing a budget months ahead of schedule rocked during the Rick Snyder years. But waiting till the last minute is okay during Gretchen Whitmer's term. Also, I have to say one more thing. I know that many of you love your Michigan summers, and they are nice. But I love my Michigan falls so much more. I was on the back patio the other night, and I started to hear my first hints of fall with the sounds of those August cicadas. Oh, yeah. High school and college football begins in 2 weeks. And my mom just texted me a story about New Holland Brewing Company's Ichabod Pumpkin Ale set to return. Hey, that tells you that fall is just around the corner. In fact, I've already discovered some Oktoberfest beers on my local store shelves, and I have to admit, I might be having one right now as I broadcast. Maybe. I'm sorry, but late September through early November in Michigan is perhaps the most beautiful time of the year. I told my wife and technical advisor to this great podcast, Dr. Heather, that we should someday drive around to the northern part of the state and check out the fall colors. She, of course, responded that that would mean me missing a football weekend. She has a good point there. I guess there's only so much sacrificing that I'm willing to do. Sorry, I love my football. Welcome to the Left of Lansing podcast again. I'm Pat Johnston. It's a podcast designed to highlight the prolific work performed by progressives throughout the state of Michigan in an effort to turn around four decades of right-wing Republican rule. It's an error. Or error that led to Michigan's shoddy infrastructure, the failing DeVos school experiment that put Michigan's kids and our state behind the rest of the country, and it's an error that hurt hardworking Michiganders for years so that the Republican donor base could keep getting a few dollars more via tax breaks. I mean, there are so many people, though, so many people in the state trying to flip the script on the failed Republican laissez-faire experiment, and these people are trying to make Michigan work not only for the people, but for Michigan to be one with the people. And one of those people who have made it their career to actually help represent Michiganders by fighting back with strong progressive values is Democratic State Representative John Hoadley from Kalamazoo. Mr. Hoadley represents the 60th District, but now Representative Hoadley wants to fight on the national level and so is running to flip a congressional seat held by longtime Republican Fred Upton. John Hoadley is my guest on the Left of Lansing podcast in just a few minutes, and I can't wait to talk with him and hear why he thinks his progressive voice is needed in Washington. And if Representative Hoadley wins, he'd become the first openly LGBTQ member of Congress from Michigan, so that would be big. He's been fighting to expand LGBTQ rights here in Michigan, including expanding the state's Elliot Larson law to protect sexual orientation and gender expression. I mean, that seems like a common sense move. It does to me, does to you. And it's a move that says Michigan is a welcoming state to everybody. We open our arms to everybody. I mean, at a time when we need people to move to Michigan, and at a time when we'd like to bring in a younger, more talented workforce to Michigan, it seems logical that we wouldn't want to seem like we're slow as a state to progress in the future. But then we have the right-wing Republican Party, a party beholden to its donor base, especially the DeVos family donor base. You see, rich people like the DeVosses and their ilk want tax cuts. They don't mind if the rest of the state lags behind in transparency or in the environment or infrastructure or education. No, they want their tax cuts. They want the rigged system to remain in place to work for them and their friends. That's the point. Those are the values the GOP fights for, pleasing its donor base. Well, you know what? I had a bit of an epiphany here over the last few months because I realized that maybe it's more than that. And I guess I knew this the whole time, but I really did have this epiphany, and I thought, wow, it was more than just tax cuts, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Because for years, I thought Michigan Republicans and Republicans in general were strictly about enriching their coffers, and they are, don't get me wrong. But the Michigan Republican Party has demonstrated through the years that it was also about hurting people. The party stood for cruelty. It stood for hurting the voiceless. The occupant in the White House is just a byproduct of the last 50 years of the Republican Party. The occupant disturbs longtime Republicans because he flat out says what they were thinking for many, many years. Cruelty is part of the platform. That's why Republicans enthusiastically back separating immigrant parents from their children and placing those children in cages. They get off on it. The right wing celebrated when ICE raided those poultry plants down in Mississippi last week. They loved seeing those children who of those who were arrested standing on the side of the road crying. Trust me, they sadistically celebrated watching those kids cry. The right wing, which purports to love Jesus, sometimes fails to note how they are not following in Jesus' teachings. They simply love to see cruelty happen to those they feel are the enemy. Yet for some reason, right-wingers didn't wonder how the executives of these plants escaped arrest. I guess they just aren't that inquisitive when it comes to that aspect of the story. But, you know, many others did notice that because the migrant workers at these poultry plants didn't just appear. No, they were welcomed in by these companies. And it's too bad that the right wing didn't really want to pay attention to that aspect of the story because, as the New York Times reports this week, federal immigration officials believe that the companies targeted in raids at poultry plants across Mississippi last week knowingly hired undocumented immigrants, a violation of federal law, according to affidavits filed by federal agents supporting the raids. Oh, but hey, don't hold your breath for those companies to face charges again. As the Times notes, prosecutions are not common, said Kimberly Bess Robidoux, a business immigration lawyer in San Diego who specializes in compliance. According to data compiled by Syracuse University released in May, only 11 people were prosecuted from April 2018 through March of 2019 for employing immigrants who did not have proper documentation. No companies were prosecuted during that time, according to the data. And let's recall, many of these companies received some nice tax breaks on top of cheap labor. Cheap labor they had no problem inviting to work for them. But for right-wingers, arresting rich CEOs isn't fun. No, not really. No, they thrive on seeing poor people, especially poor people of color, suffer. Which is why we can't be shocked when we hear Associated Press stories report on how a 7-year-old was ripped away from his father, put in a foster home, where he was then sexually molested multiple times. We cannot be shocked by those stories. Where's the right wing and its compassionate conservatism to fight for these kids? Where is it? They refuse to care for these kids because they want to see migrant families suffer. That's the point. The right wing has been spoon-fed fear from its right-wing corporate media that migrants are to blame for this nation's ills. They've been spoon-fed that fear for years. You see, to them, poor migrants must pay. No, not those who set the policies that are actually hurting them. No, no, it's migrant workers who are the real enemies. My God. Now, the right wing can't explain how treating migrants with cruelty helps them gain better access to health care for their families or a better and more affordable education for their children, but that's not the point. It's all about pain for the others. In Michigan, Governor Whitmer is backing a common sense bill to give undocumented immigrants driver's licenses. I mean, it is common sense. She said, "We need to ensure that everyone's got a path to getting a license so they've got identification. That's something that's important to me. It's important to our economy. It's important to the people of Michigan." And as Michigan Advance notes, 13 states and the District of Columbia offer driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. So, I mean, this is an idea that even the conservative Michigan Farm Bureau backs. I know the Michigan Farm Bureau. I used to work in farm radio. Yes, they are pretty conservative, but they back this initiative because they need migrant workers. They know that Michigan farmers need migrant workers for help. and helping get migrants a driver's license would help them get jobs and it would also help them get some auto insurance. But Republicans like House Speaker Lee Chatfield would rather fearmonger the issue by citing voter fraud? What? Of course, there is no instance of voter fraud from giving migrants driver's licenses. That's not the point. Cruelty is the point. They love hearing stories how a four-month-old child is separated from her breastfeeding migrant mother. They love it. Why? Cruelty. Why do you think so many right-wingers want to abolish Obamacare? Cruelty. Why do you think they want to attack women's health and the right to an abortion? Cruelty. Why do you think the right wing backs initiatives that force some hardworking Michiganders to undergo drug testing if they receive Medicaid? Cruelty. Cruelty, everybody, is the top plank of the Republican Party platform. It has been that way for 50 years. Please don't let anyone tell you that today's Republican Party is any different than the Republican Party of the past. We just heard tapes of then-Governor Ronald Reagan saying racist things about Africans in the United Nations to President Nixon back in the early 1970s. And let's not forget that Reagan kicked off his 1980 campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi. That's where three civil rights workers were killed by white right-wing terrorists back in 1964. It wasn't a coincidence why Reagan and his people chose to start his campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi. The Republican Party has for years backed an agenda that divided Americans by race, gender, religion, etc. As comedian and progressive talk show host Dean Obadalo has warned, as the economy begins to slow, the occupant and the right wing will ramp up the racist talk. You watch. All right, quickly, let's just get back to LGBTQ rights, please, because Representative Lynn Afendolis of Grand Rapids introduced a bill last month that would prohibit any flag other than the state flag, American flag, and governor's flag from flying above government buildings. Ms. Afendolis is running for Republican Congressman Justin Amash's seat, and so she believes that introducing this bill will win her favor with her right-wing constituents. Why? Because this would prevent Governor Whitmer and future governors from flying the rainbow LGBTQ pride flag above government buildings. That's the point of this bill. Why are they doing this? How is this hurting anyone? It's not. Which is why Representative Afendolis wants to ban the flag. She wants to anger and upset people she doesn't consider to be like her or her constituents. All in the name of cruelty. She, like the occupant and her right-wing ilk, want to hurt people. That's the point. They want to own the libs. And bravo, by the way, to Governor Whitmer for quickly announcing that she'd veto this asinine bill. It's nice to have good, smart leadership once again in Lansing. You see, the Republican platform of cruelty isn't going away, and it's why we should celebrate having people like Michigan Democratic State Representative John Holley in the trenches fighting for us each and every day. He's my guest coming up next here on the Left of Lansing podcast.
Podcast devoted to helping fix the damn roads because Pat's tired of dodging potholes. It's the Left of Lansing podcast. The Left of Lansing podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and of course on leftoflansing.com. Now back to Pat Johnston.
You can always visit my blog for more info and opinion. That is leftoflansing.com. Once again, leftoflansing.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at leftoflansing. And I'm also on the Facebook as well. Joining the podcast this week is Democratic State Representative John Holley. He represents the 60th District, which is in the Kalamazoo area, and currently serves as the Democratic Vice Chair of the House Appropriations Committee, as well as the Democratic Vice Chair of the House Fiscal Agency Governing Committee. He's been a solid progressive voice during his time in the state legislature, but is throwing his hat in the ring to run for the longtime seat held by Republican Congressman Fred Upton in 2020. We'll talk about more why he wants to run for Congress in a bit, but also we'll talk about some of the current battles that are happening in the state legislature this fall. Representative Holdy, thank you very much for joining me here on the Left of Lansing podcast. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you giving us some voice on the west side of the state here.
Hey, no, it's my pleasure. Trust me. First, are you enjoying your summer? Because it appears that the Republican leadership is fine taking the entire summer off.
You know, just because the Republican leadership isn't ready to get to work doesn't mean that we haven't been working as Democrats.
Yeah.
So in my neck of the woods, the budget is so critically important. We have to get it right. And as the ranking Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee, I've been meeting every week, making sure that we're figuring out what else can we be doing to move the budget forward. Schools started their budget July 1. We've got like less than 50 days by the time, you know, whenever someone's listening to this, till our fiscal year runs out. I don't know why my Republican friends thought getting a budget done early was only good under a Republican governor. But the truth is, our schools, our towns, let alone the folks who are thinking about water and road construction. We need a budget. So let's get to work and let's get it done. So that's been keeping my summer a little busy. And, of course, this whole running for Congress thing, making sure that we are out knocking doors, getting petition signed, raising the funds to win. It's been a full and great summer.
That's got to be difficult. How do you balance both with your current job and hoping to win another race in 2020?
I think anyone that runs like a work-life balance blog would probably have a heart attack looking at my schedule right now. But you do the stuff because you love it. So I am so appreciative that my partner, Chris, he's been great about giving me the time and the support and the freedom to go out and talk to folks and get the work done. I have an awesome team that has been helping me be in 3, 4, 5 places simultaneously, in addition to the fact that I've got great stateside staff who are so focused on making sure our constituents get their voices heard, that opinions are registered, that legislation continues to move. So when I'm showing up in these different spaces, on the campaign trail, in my home life, at my legislative job, you know, I'm ready to give it 100%, and I've got a great team of people who are making sure that I can always show up at 100%. And you know, anyone who's listening knows that. This stuff, you can't do it by yourself. It really takes a team, and that's kind of the leadership style I've always tried to be as a state representative. I'm hoping I'll keep getting to do that leadership style in Congress, too.
Well, that's just it, is that it's one thing for one person to decide to want to get into the game, but it takes a lot of people to really want to help that person out to get in there, because in the end, we all need to get involved.
That's right. And we're at such an important moment where, you know, you hear about the Koch brothers and their money that they're pouring in and how so many folks have been rigging the rules. You know, we got my Republican colleagues who are trying to sue to prevent fair districts, right? All of this nonsense that's out there in the world. But at the end of the day, nothing replaces a conversation between people. Neighbors talking to neighbors, friends talking to friends. But if you can believe everything you're reading or hearing, the fact that a friend says, hey, I've met this person, or this is a cause that's important to me, that's what keeps making our democracy work. That's what gets me so excited about why I'm running for Congress. It gets me so excited about this idea that if we put people and community at the center of decisions, then we're going to be able to make sure that we can get a lot done for our communities and for our families. And on the really big issues, we were talking about, Pat, just a second ago, this idea that someone's going to win this seat in the next couple of years, right?
Yeah.
The person who gets elected will be making decisions that will be impacting us for 20 years or more, right? When you're talking about healthcare, or the environment, or gun violence, or equality, right? Being some of these big linchpin issues. And the only way we're going to get good people in this seat or in seats across the state is if we all raise our hand to get involved, right? Democracy is not a spectator sport. Everybody's got to get in the arena.
Hear, hear. I completely agree. We're speaking with Democratic State Representative John Holdy here on the Left of Lansing podcast, and he is also running for Congress in 2020. You brought up a great point, because the press, of course, and I understand, especially the national press, they're going to concentrate on the big prize, right? They're going to concentrate on the presidential race. And of course, as we have learned with everything that the current occupant in the White House has been doing here for the last 3 years, we know it is very important to win the presidency. But I think we've also learned from the Obama years that it's just as important to win the congressional seats, the Senate seats, and the state legislature seats. And I'm hoping that many progressives out there and left-leaning voters or even centrists out there are picking that up. I have a feeling that for many years, maybe they didn't. Maybe they just thought the presidency was the main goal. But I think that if there's at least one thing that we can take with what happened in 2016 is that it got more people involved to run for other seats in Congress and the state legislature. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not looking for silver linings from 2016 because let's be honest, the lessons that we're learning from that election and from the administration under President Trump has been a disaster. It's caused physical harm to our country. Families have been separated. Environmental protections have been weakened. Student loans have been given over to predatory companies. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, right? Yeah. So I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. But I think the point that you said is also true, that people realize there is a difference between the political parties and the fact that neither of them are perfect in any particular way, but they are clearly different. And so your voice matters. Showing up to vote matters. And it's not just the top of the ticket. You know, it's, you know, we saw that it's as important that we are electing legislative members in the state house, the state senate, and of course, the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate to then hold our elected officials accountable, but also be able to push a legislative agenda that actually is going to help people. One of the things that I've been talking about has been being a longtime advocate for LGBT equality is how important it is that we pass nationwide protections for non-discrimination. We've watched in the state of Michigan as I've introduced the expansion of the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Bill year after year, and nothing happens. It goes to committees to die because the Republican leadership won't let it move forward. What we saw at the U.S. Congress, when there was a change of leadership, that it passed overwhelmingly in the U.S. House of Representatives to go to the U.S. Senate now and die because of Leader McConnell. But I will also note, right, my U.S. representative voted no on fairness and equality. So who sits in these seats matters. Who's in leadership matters. And, you know, I'm so excited that there's just people now across our state and our country who are raising their hand, getting involved, putting their name on the ballot, their values up for votes, and helping people who they agree with. That is exactly what we need to see happen even more in 2020 so we can finally turn this country around and get back on track.
If you end up winning the congressional seat here in 2020, you'd become the first openly LGBTQ member of Congress from Michigan. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I did read that the LGBTQ Victory Fund, a national organization that backs LGBTQ candidates, has endorsed your candidacy. And I was just wondering, you brought it up a little bit of the fight that you've been putting up here for a long time. How vital do you believe it is for Congress to have somebody like you in there fighting for the LGBT community and representing the community on a daily basis in Congress?
It's important that we have a real diverse set of folks representing us from across the state and across the country. And it matters not just on any one issue. You know, for me, obviously, it is still paramount and important that we are advancing important civil rights work that would end discrimination against anyone, regardless if you're gay or straight, you know, who you are, how you identify, because of your sexual orientation or your gender identity. You know, in America, you should be judged on how well you do the job, not who you go home to at the end of the day, right? So this is the kind of thing that's important because there's still issues that need to be resolved, and having our voices matter, right? But also then having someone with those experiences matter. You know, I think I know what it's like to not quite feel like you fit in and have to find yourself in your story, in your courage to live your authentic lives. And that looks different for so many of us. But almost everybody has a coming out story of their own where they needed to blaze their own trail. And it's important that we elect members of Congress who can tell those stories and never forget where they came from. But then it's also important that we are building a diverse set of experiences, because the Equality Act is one vote in Congress. But we need to make sure that we have people who are bringing diverse experiences from everything from healthcare, to make sure that people aren't being discriminated against in their healthcare, that they can afford their healthcare, right? My partner has a chronic condition. And so, like, I know the frustration of what it's like to deal with bills, the bureaucracy, and as do literally thousands upon thousands of families in Michigan and across the country who are just trying to worry more about getting better than figuring out what bill's coming next. Like, we got to get that right. Or the fact that it's important that I'm also bringing with me a generation that is struggling under $1.6 trillion of student debt. Mm. And I'm sitting with people who are sitting there thinking, yeah, but when I went to college, you know, just get a summer job. Why don't those kids stop eating avocado toast and get a summer job? Come on. Times have changed, right? And so this is why it's important that we change some of the people in these seats. I am going to be 36 tomorrow. By the time your folks hear this, I've probably been 36 for a couple of days now. My birthday is on August 14th. My member of Congress here has been serving and is now in his 17th term. That means he's been here for like 33 years, right? It's a lifetime. And so with all due respect, right, we need to make sure that our institutions that are creating our laws are able and capable to change with our country as our country continues to change to a more perfect union. The purpose of our Constitution is to evolve, to help us realize that as our times change, the principles of freedom, equal justice under law, of liberty, for all of us, these are key points. And it's going to show up in a different way for every chapter of the American story. But it's time that we elect people to come with us and to tell the next chapter of the story. And that's why I'm so excited that I'm running. And frankly, there are a ton of other great people running too.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Democratic State Representative John Hoadley here on the Left of Lansing podcast. Just have a couple more moments here. Well, since you brought up some really big issues like student debt and also health care, what would you like to see in terms of health care? What would you like to see our system eventually become? Do you want to see Obamacare improved, or would you like to see some kind of form of a Medicare for all or universal health care, something that would cover everybody? What are you looking for?
So the first thing I always tell people is we need to cover everybody. That's where we got to get to, right?
Yeah.
And being a legislator, I also know that like proposals keep changing, right? So here's my deal. We need a universal health care system. We need a Medicare for all-like system. And I'm not locking myself into saying you have to be only this way or the highway, right? That's the thing that sets people up for failure. What I want to see, though, is let's make it sure that you're doing the business of worrying about getting better, not worrying about what bills you're going to pay, right? Let's take the burden off the backs of businesses who are spending literally billions of dollars dealing with HR that's managing some insurance companies' healthcare plan, as opposed to making sure that all people have the freedom to be entrepreneurial and start their own business and be able to make sure that they can get their insulin, right? Like, this isn't hard. Other countries have figured this out. I think Democrats and progressives need to not take the bait that Republicans in their hacks are trying to give, that try to make us get into the micro weeds that are putting out fear messages, that are trying to distract us. The forest is really clear. Healthcare for everybody.
Yeah, right.
Full stop.
Right. And I think that was what was maddening about watching the Democrats debate in Detroit last month when they were debating healthcare. Ultimately, everybody seemed to be on the same page that they want to find a way to cover more Americans. Our starting point should be, and always should be, we want to find ways to cover more people, and then we'll go from there.
Our goal should be let's cover every person, right?
Yes.
And then, like, the thing I keep saying, because I don't know who even said it, right? For me, progressive means let's make some progress. And so having worked, unfortunately, in the minority every year of my legislative term, you know, one thing I've learned is that we're going to take every victory we can take along the way. I'm not going to wait for the absolute perfect to stand in the way of something that's going to be good right now. And here's the thing that, like, if that means that we can take even small steps in the system so one less person doesn't die because they can't afford their prescriptions, I'm voting on that. If one less family can avoid a medical bankruptcy because of some insurance bureaucracy, I'm voting for that. And you know what? Like everybody else, let's keep our eyes on where we're trying to go here. There are big changes that we need to see. We got to tackle the climate crisis. We have a generation of students that are swimming in debt who can't afford to start families or buy homes. We've got a whole set of folks that are worrying about how they're going to pay for their medication. And one of the big issues I've done a ton of work on in the State House is figuring out for an aging population, who's going to be there to give them the long-term care they need, oftentimes to stay in their homes with some dignity. There is a silver tsunami coming, and folks aren't talking about it. And we're not paying the direct care workers who, by the way, are more often than not women, women of color, and immigrant women, a decent wage to do this work. So, like, let's figure out how to get past the talking points and past the sort of, like, fear-mongering stuff, and let's solve some big things because we can. America is best when we are a country that's telling people to dream big and do big. And for all the naysayers over the last 10, 20, 30 years whose answer has been, you know, we just can't, we have to think smaller, you know, they would have been the people who would have told JFK, really, the moon seems pretty far. You know, I'm tired of it. My generation is tired of it. So let's do something great. And that's why I'm running. That's why a ton of people are running. And I hope folks will have a chance and go to johnhoadley.com and join our team or chip in a little bit because we got to run a big campaign. We're already doing work in every county in this district. You know, we're doing things differently. And so we need your help to keep that going. And for our friends that are left of Lansing, I really am to the left, like we are of Lansing. We're in the west part of the state. So we need your help on this side. So come out. We'd love to have you knock some doors with us, be involved with our team. If we all do a little, we'll get a lot done.
Oh, don't worry about that. I think you're going to get a lot of support here leading up to 2020. Once again, State Representative John Hoadley, thanks again for being on. Give everybody your web address if they would like to help your campaign out for Congress.
We'd love to see you at johnhoadley.com.
Also, one more note, if people still would like to contact you, if they had any questions about the work that's happening in the state legislature, how can they find you?
For official inquiries about our legislative work, you're always welcome to visit our website in the legislature or call our office at 517-373-1785.
State Representative John Hoadley, thank you so much for being on. Thank you so much for being a voice for the average Michigander, just not in your district, but throughout the state of Michigan. Thank you for being a strong progressive voice, and I hope that you'll consider coming back on the podcast sometime again in the future.
Anytime you want to have me back. Thank you.
It's progressivism with passion. It's the Left of Lansing podcast, where Pat Johnston shines a light on Michigan's progressive movement. Contact Pat at leftoflansing@gmail.com. The Left of Lansing podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and of course on leftoflansing.com. Word has it, that's Rick Snyder's favorite site. Now, back to Pat Johnston.
Thanks so much to State Representative John Hoadley for joining this podcast this week. And wow, what an impressive fellow. What an impressive future leader. There's a millennial right there who's had enough of the old-fashioned way of politics. Representative Hoadley and countless other millennials are living through, and have had to live through actually, the last 40 years of right-wing policies, which resulted in high student debt, as he brought up, as resulted in polluters giving free rein to destroy our planet, and resulted in Wall Street banks getting trillions of dollars in bailout money, taxpayer bailout money, while there's nothing left for millennials. You can see why many of them are getting involved in politics and want to change the game. Let's try to get one of them in Congress. Let's try to get Representative Hoadley in Congress. We need voices like his to represent Michigan in Congress. He can join Michigan's already deep bench of talented Democrats who are in Congress, including Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib from Detroit. Now, Rashida's been in the news in the last few days because the occupant needed a scapegoat. His failing economy is panicking the occupant, so he needed to go on yet another racist attack against someone. This time, well, once again, it's Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib and fellow Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar from Minnesota were scheduled to visit Israel this coming week. But the occupant called up his fellow right-wing zealot, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to prevent Tlaib and Omar from visiting Israel. Now I'm wondering why. Netanyahu did just that and announced that Israel would ban Congress's only two Muslim members from visiting his country. He cited a law passed last year that banned anyone who backed the BDS movement from entering Israel. Some democracy, right? BDS, by the way, stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. Its main goal is to pressure Israel to end its occupation in most of the West Bank, which might or might not be good. I don't know. I haven't really studied the issue completely. It might be a good way to oppose the right-wing Israeli government. Regardless, it's a nonviolent way to hold the right-wing leadership accountable. And it's obviously got Netanyahu and his people really angry. It has. And maybe they fear that BDS would work? Maybe. Anyway, after numerous politicians and groups, including the right-wing Israeli lobbying organization AIPAC, blasted Israel's decision to bar the first two Muslim women ever to serve in Congress from entering the country, Israel's leadership decided to allow Tlaib to enter the country to visit her grandmother. But Tlaib, later on, rightly refused to go because Israel was putting restrictions on what she could do and say while there. Some democracy, right? Congresswoman Tlaib wrote the following: I have decided not to travel to Palestine and Israel at this time. Visiting my grandmother under these oppressive conditions meant to humiliate me would break my grandmother's heart. Silencing me with treatment to make me feel less than is not what she wants for me. It would kill a piece of me that always stands up against racism and injustice. Nicely put. The Free Press reported that the occupant later tweeted that Tlaib's grandmother was the real winner in the continuing controversy because, quote, she doesn't have to see her now. What did I say about the right wing earlier on this podcast? Its main goal is cruelty. This is what we have to vote out of office, not just in the White House, but we have to vote more people into Congress, like Rashida Tlaib or Joe Hoadley. We have to put more progressives into the state legislature, as we started doing back in 2018. And if the right wing tries to block us here in Michigan, we will do what we did in 2018 and take our policies to the people, like squashing gerrymandering, legalizing some pot, and opening up voting restrictions the right wing placed on thousands of Michiganders for years. It's our turn to end this reign, this era of cruelty or error.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you are hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to my favorite progressive voice, Pat Johnston.
Thank you very much there, Dr. Heather, for all of your hard work here on the podcast. Greatly appreciated, as always. And I say that despite the fact that she's an Ohio Bobcat. I'm a CMU grad, of course, so whenever we play each other in sporting activities, we're on the opposite sides. But still, we have the common goal of producing the best podcast we can here on the Left of Lansing podcast. Remember, if you'd like to email me, very simple. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com. Don't forget about leftoflansing.com as well. And let me just say one more note. Augustin Abulu, please resign from the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. Just do it now. Governor Whitmer is already freezing you out by saying you're not allowed in any more cabinet meetings. You are not representing that office the way it should be represented. It has been found that you said things that were objectifying women. That is not what the head of the Michigan Civil Rights Department should be doing. It's time to leave. Go off into the sunset and allow somebody else to take control of the Civil Rights Department in Michigan. Please get out now. That's going to do it for this edition of the Left of Lansing podcast. Have a great week, and I will talk with you next week. Remember, always take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston. Just kidding, this thing isn't researched. And broadcasted by Pat Johnston. Technical assistance provided by the wonderful Dr. Heather. And don't forget to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information and Pat's musical taste, if you can handle it. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.